98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo starts now.
Straight up 2 o'clock on this Thursday afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome into today's edition of the Burns and Gambo Show here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. I'm Dave Burns alongside the one, the only John Gambador. Hi, Gambo.
What is up, Burnsy?
You never know who's going to walk in here.
I know a boss wanted to do the show. I was like, all right, take it. Take the mic. You want it? You can have it.
He grabbed the mic and put it in front of him, and I was like, what is going on here?
What is he going to do? I mean, he used to do it once upon a time.
He used to.
Yeah.
The communists have a Little League game today, so I'd be all right if he wanted to take over the show. Communists, we've got a Little League game against the Cubs.
It's just for people who don't understand what you're talking about. Your son's team.
My son's team.
The Red Sox.
Communists. We call them the communists.
I'm sure. I'm sure that's... And you're a coach on this team, right?
Yes, I am.
I'm sure that's what
I actually have to put the shirt on. Sometimes I put it on inside out. Once they caught me wearing it the right way. But I actually do this. Jordan, you'll get a kick out of this. We got a message from our coach, Bob Marcus. He's our coach. Good morning, team. Tonight we play the Cubs at 7 p.m. MVP field number one. We'll meet on the first base side. Da, da, da. I go, you know what that means for the Cubs?
Whoa. I thought that was only the Suns. I didn't think you did that for anybody else. You're breaking your own rules.
I had a parent respond, bad news for the Cubs.
Wow. Wow.
If it has the same track record as ours with the Suns, that's not a good omen.
I don't know if you want to go there or not, man.
The Communists are undefeated this year. They're undefeated.
That's not exactly...
My kid hit a walk-off the other night.
Okay, not that I listen to this song very often, but when I hear it, this is the Russian National Anthem.
USSR.
The Soviet Union National Anthem.
Yeah.
Remember that scene in The Hunt for Red October?
Oh, that was a great movie.
When they use the Caterpillar Drive for the first time.
Oh, the Hunt for Red October.
And all of Sean Connery's guys start singing this song. And the second in command is like, but they're going to hear the singing. And Sean Connery's like, let them sing. Let them sing. And they're all singing this song. And
then my wife liked that movie. I loved that movie.
I love that movie. She probably would not like that
movie. I liked
movie.
Everything Sean Connery was in.
The Hunt for Red October was such
a good
movie.
The Hunt for Red October.
I believe this song also makes an appearance in Rocky IV before the famous bout.
When Drago comes out? Yeah, that would make sense, too. Wow.
Little League, this is our national anthem.
Yeah, you should.
When our team goes out there. Right before the Red Sox take on the Cubs tonight, we'll play this. At the Ahwatukee Little League Field.
This show took an unexpected turn. I wasn't expecting to cover that ground today. Let's tell you what our top story of the day is here on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Going deep. Today's top story, Burns and Gambo.
Going deep here on the Burns and Gambo Show. This speculation about the Arizona Cardinals keeping both Kyler Murray and Josh Rosen is becoming more and more prevalent by the soundbite. Yesterday, remember, Ian Rappaport went on NFL Network and said, yes, they could keep both.
They could, in fact, keep both quarterbacks until they decide not to. They are not going to give Josh Rosen away. And when they've compared Rosen to the other quarterbacks in this draft besides Kyler Murray, they think Rosen's better anyway. This is a guy they really, really like. So it is going to take a very, very good offer for them to trade Rosen if that is the direction they decide to go in, which, of course, they haven't decided yet.
Now, I know yesterday we were both very skeptical, very, very skeptical that the Cardinals were going to, in fact, draft Kyler Murray and keep Josh Rosen. It just does not seem like a wise allocation of resources. It doesn't really seem like a good thing to do for the locker room for a bunch of reasons I can think. It doesn't seem like a good idea to keep both. But, man, today... Here's Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk Live saying, yeah, Arizona can keep both.
You don't have to trade Josh Rosen. You can draft Kyler Murray and keep Josh Rosen. You've already paid Rosen $11 million. He's got $6.2 million due over the next 3 years. That is cheap from a backup quarterback standpoint.
Yes.
So you keep Rosen around and you wait for the best offer. And maybe the best offer comes on draft day and maybe it doesn't. Maybe it comes a year from now. But I think this is the right way to play it.
I got another one I'm going to play here in a second. But before, and from Mike Sando, he was on with Bickley and Murata earlier today. But before we play that, What do we think about sort of this growing belief out there in the marketplace that the Cardinals could just keep both?
Two things. One, they are not going to give him away. So if anybody's calling and offering a third-round pick, they can hang up the phone. They're not going to give him away. What I can tell you is that there are at least three teams interested in Josh Rosen if the Arizona Cardinals decide to go that way. So if they decide to go that route, and they haven't decided yet, but if they decide to go that route, there are at least three teams that are interested in Rosen. So they are not going to give him away. Now, let's read into this a little bit and not giving him away. The feeling is, look, Josh Rosen, he's better than Haskins. He's going to be a first-round pick. He's better than Jones. He's going to be a first-round pick. His contract is more affordable than those guys' contracts are going to be. You're going to get him for 3 years and $6.2 million. So you get a steal on the contract, and he's better than these other guys. You want to take the, you know, so they are not going to trade him for maybe not even a second. So if you're not offering a first, right now they're probably not even talking to you. They're probably not even in discussions with you. Now, the feeling could be very well be that if you don't get the offer you want, you wait it out. Bradford fetched a first and a third in August when Bridgewater got injured.
Mm-hmm.
A first and a third.
We brought up that scenario yesterday.
For Bradford.
As if you're going to hold on to Rosen, then what you're hoping for is some team to suffer an injury like the Vikings did with Bridgewater a couple of years ago, and there were the Eagles ready to trade Sam Bradford to him.
So the reason that they could easily keep him, and I do not believe that they will. I just want to preface this. I think they're going to get a trade done if they go this route. I think they'll find a trade partner. But if nobody is willing to offer them fair value for Josh Rosen, then that's a card that they could play. I'm not trading him. If you're not calling me with a first-round pick offer, then I'm not accepting your phone call. Because I've got at least three teams, and maybe four, maybe five, but it's at least three. I don't know the exact number, but at least three teams are interested in Josh Rosen. And they're going to try to pry a first out of one of them if they do go this route. That's a preface.
If they go this route. Yeah.
But no, they are not going to give him away for free. So, hey, best offer I could get is a third rounder. Now, in the past, I've kind of still thought that, hey, listen, you know, I went with the theory on the bicycle. I just bought a new bicycle. I got to get rid of the, I got to take what offer. The thinking is not like that. They're probably going to hold the bicycle and wait for the next garage sale to come around.
For people who weren't listening yesterday, let's go over the bicycle theory again. The bicycle theory goes like this. You spent $500 on a bicycle.
Yes.
And you bought a bicycle for $500 and you decided that you're going to buy another bicycle that you like better. So you go to sell the first bicycle and you want to get exactly what you paid for that bicycle.
I want to get close. I want to get close to it. Okay? I want to get close.
The point you made yesterday was at some point in time, I'm just going to sell that bicycle and I'm going to get
whatever I can
get for it. If it's $300, if it's $250, at some point I have to understand as the guy selling the bicycle that if I'm not going to get close to what I paid for it, I'm going to have to accept 50 cents on the dollar for it or whatever the case may be. You're telling me
they're going to do another garage sale down the road.
That they are perfectly content to hold on to the bicycle if they're not getting what they feel is the proper value.
They're not going to take whatever the best offer is for the bicycle. They'll put the bicycle back in the garage, and then they'll wait a few months, and then they'll have another garage sale and hope that somebody broke their bicycle and needs to buy a new bicycle because their bicycle's broken. So that's the theory. Look, I think they're going to be able to trade him because there are multiple teams that are interested in Rosen if they go this route. I'm going to keep prefacing that by saying if they go this route. Will they give him away for free? No. They are not shopping him either. I want to preface this. This is very important. The Arizona Cardinals are not shopping Josh Rosen at this time. But they are fielding calls. They are talking to teams that are interested in Rosen. Those calls have come in. There is a lot of interest in him, a lot of interest. So more than three teams, more than three. So at least four.
The teams that have been speculated on, and I'm not saying these are the teams. I'm just kind of recapping everybody on the teams that have been speculated on. The Patriots, the Giants, the Chargers,
Redskins.
The Washington Redskins have been speculated on. Those are the main four. I can't think of anybody else whose name has really come up as a possibility. Those are the four main ones that have been talked about. Here's Mike Sando on Bickley and Marotta today. Again, add his voice to the litany of voices saying it's not the worst thing if you keep them both.
Your number one impetus for the decision is, what do you think of Kyler Murray? If it's enough to take him, you take him. Then you worry about what you're going to do with Rosen, and you don't do a bad deal for Rosen. You don't take a sixth-round pick for Rosen, right? I mean, if you have two guys on the roster, I mean, that's been done before. You know, it's not the worst thing in the world to have two quarterbacks that you like. You know, I don't think they hate Josh Rosen by any means. So you can reassess that later, and maybe somebody, you know, a need crops up, or maybe Kyler Murray isn't the guy and you play Josh Rosen. I mean, whatever.
I still think it's crazy. You ever, when your kids were young, you ever feed them as babies? You ever feed them baby food?
Yeah, of course.
They're sitting in the high chair, right? And they got the bib, and you got the spoon.
You spit it all out.
Okay, right. At some point, when you're feeding the child, right, you say, hey, look, if you don't eat this, I'm going to eat it.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I would do the airplane thing.
If you don't eat what's on this spoon, I'm going to eat it. And you hope that threat is enough to convince the child to eat what's on the spoon. If it's not, you kind of have to suck it up and eat what's on the spoon just to show the baby that you're willing to do it. I kind of think of this whole keeping Josh Rosen on the same roster as Kyler Murray as sort of the same thing. It seems ludicrous to eat the baby's food off the spoon. I do not want mashed peas going into my stomach out of that little jar. It looks gross. It smells gross. And I don't want to touch it. But if I've made the threat, eat this or daddy's going to eat it, well, then you kind of have to eat it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and I feel like this keeping Rosen and drafting Murray thing is kind of a similar type threat.
Don't make me do it.
Don't make me do it. Don't make me do it, Jake. I'll eat it. I'll eat the mashed peas. I'll do it just to make you do it. And if they don't, if nobody comes with the correct offer for Josh Rosen, are the Arizona Cardinals willing to eat the mashed peas?
The pumpkin banana carrot?
Are they willing? Look,
the pear peach oatmeal?
Well, okay, and that's the thing. When you have little kids, the fruity stuff, I was fine eating that.
You're okay with that?
It was the vegetables.
How about the ham and gravy?
Oh, God, just thinking. It's disgusting.
Butternut squash.
Ham and gravy in a jar? And
I think that's the last time I actually had butternut squash when I was a kid.
I have a buddy who, when his children were young enough, he would do the one for you, one for me. And he actually really got to enjoy the fresh fruit baby food.
The fruit one is fine. It actually tastes like normal food. But man, if you had some of those vegetables all mashed up like that.
Ooh. Oh, I'm looking at a prune right now. Carrot, sweet potato pea.
We'll see.
Pea, carrot, spinach. That sounds disgusting.
We'll see if the Cardinals
are willing. That's what we should do. We should do bets to where if we lose, one of us has to eat one of these meals.
That's disgusting. While most of the focus is on Kyler Murray, Nick Bosa visiting with the Cardinals today. But his time in Arizona won't include one activity, and should we be concerned about that? We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. So here's a scenario that's really easy to see. We were talking about this in the prep room before the show. Raiders move up from 4-1 to take Kyler Murray. The San Francisco 49ers take Nick Bosa number 2.
Right.
The Jets move out of the number 3 spot, which I'm willing to bet a lot of lunches that they're going to do. And somebody moves up to number 3 to take Dwayne Haskins. Right. And there are the Cardinals sitting at 4. Opportunity to take Josh Allen if they want. Opportunity to take Quinnen Williams if they want. I mean, you've got to work out everybody. You have to consider all angles and all possibilities, which is why, according to multiple reports, today Nick Bosa and Quinnen Williams were both in for their visit with the Arizona Cardinals.
I said, the last couple of years, I've done it for the first round and the second round, and been really, really accurate with this. It's like a Gambo top 5. Like, they've had me do like top 5 picks in the first round, top 5 picks in the second round, on who they're going to get. And I think this year I'll do something a little bit different. I might do something top 5 scenarios, cuz there aren't 5 players that they're going to draft at number 1. So it's going to be more like scenarios. Scenario 1 is they take Kyler Murray. Scenario 2 is they trade with maybe the Raiders. Scenario 3 is they trade with the Chargers. Scenario 3, they trade with. So that, I think I'll do scenarios instead of players for the first round, because there's not 5 players that they could take with the first pick. There's just not. They're going to work out Bosa. They're going to work out Quinnen Williams. They're going to work out all these guys. But if I sat there and I gave you, here's my top 5, I think I'll probably more likely give you scenarios. Scenario 1, take Murray. Scenario 2, trade with this team. Scenario 3, trade with this team. Scenario four, take Bosa. Scenario five, trade with this team. What I think is more likely, because I'm not going to find five guys that they could take in the first round.
No,
I'm going to find two.
You won't.
Two players.
And I don't think they'll take Quinnen Williams number one overall, but I do think there's a very easy scenario in which you could see them walking out of this thing with Quinnen Williams, possibly.
If they trade down to four,
Sure. I mean, I could very easily, again, because I'm going to keep saying this, I think the Jets are moving out of number three and someone's going to move into that spot.
You know, Daniel Jeremiah has Bosa rated as his number one player on his top 50 prospect list and Williams number two. So he's got them 1-2.
Along the same lines, McShay yesterday broke down the prospects into tiers, right? Tier one players, tier two players, tier three. He only had two tier one players in this entire
draft. Bosa and Williams.
Bosa and Williams.
Bosa and Williams. So everybody agrees, like, these are your two stud players. And listen, both guys would, you know, fill a need for the Cardinals defense. They would. You know, one guy's an interior guy that will play nose tackle and defensive end, and the other guy's a linebacker who would come in with, you know, you got Terrell Suggs for 1 year, and he could come in and replace him after a year. But both guys make a ton of sense.
Yeah.
A ton of sense if the Cardinals end up with one of them. People may be disappointed they didn't get Kyler Murray if they decide to go this route and trade the pick. But if they don't trade down far enough, and they're able to get a Williams or a Bosa, I think, okay, you trade down and you get one of those two guys and you pick up extra picks. That's not going to be a lose situation.
I mean, in some ways, you have to view this. You can't just view this Kyler Murray versus Josh Rosen thing as a one-on-one thing, right? And I remember talking about this with you a few weeks ago. We talked about it like you have to kind of judge it as Kyler Murray and the player that you get for whatever you trade for Josh Rosen compared to Josh Rosen and whatever you get with the number one pick, right?
Right.
So what do I get? Do am I?
Boy, you could. Boy, can you think? Can you imagine how many picks they're going to have with that?
Possible. I mean, think about it. Think about if, let's say, you trade with the Raiders, right?
And you get
Raiders
two first up, round picks.
Get two first round picks.
So and now trade Rosen for another first round pick.
So now it's not just Josh Rosen versus Kyler Murray. It's Josh Rosen, the guy you got at four, and the guy you got at 27, or Kyler Murray and the guy you would get with whatever pick Josh Rosen.
If you do trade the pick, then you're not trading Rosen, so you wouldn't move Rosen. So it's not like you're going to get both. It's, you know, the only way you could get the two picks, but you would hold on to Rosen.
Right.
So you wouldn't be moving Rosen to get other picks.
Rosen, presumably, and not just those two picks. I mean, I assume there'd be even more compensation in the future as well.
Yeah, because
you'd have to add into the equation later, but you never
because
know.
Because you're going to want picks next year.
You would think.
You're going to want picks next year. You've already got, how many picks you got this year already? 10?
10. You got 10.
And how many free agents have you already added? Like 12? Like, so you don't want too many picks.
There, I was reading a story on, again, Pro Football Talk today about this Nick Bosa visit. And it had a couple lines in here that I was curious about, so I did a little more digging around on the old World Wide Web. The Cardinals, they write, previously dined with Bosa in Florida. We knew this. It's unclear whether the team asked him to conduct a private workout, and if so, whether he declined. All teams may bring 30 players to the facility for a visit, and the visit can't include a workout. So I looked around a little more, and here's Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk Live, in which he claims that Nick Bosa is not doing private workout for teams at all.
He's visiting with NFL franchises, but there's been no indication of any private workouts involving Nick Bosa. And, you know, it wasn't all that long ago that the old school football types were wringing their hands and gnashing their teeth over players choosing not to engage in these private workouts. But we've seen guys get injured in the private workouts, and there is a point where, especially the top prospects, they have to say, enough, I'm done.
And because of that, he thinks it doesn't make sense to risk injury like that by doing the private workout.
If you're secure in your draft position, the last thing you want to do is go out there and run around some more and risk tearing something, straining something, popping something, breaking something, right as you're on the cusp of finally getting your financial reward.
Now, I don't know if he's doing private workouts or not, but that is kind of interesting to think that he might. Nope, enough. I did my workout. You're good.
Met with the Giants. And then after he met with the Giants, they went to the premiere of Game of Thrones, where his brother has a role in the final season. So Joey Bosa's got a role in the final season of Game of Thrones, which someday you will watch Game of Thrones.
Didn't Syndergaard have one too?
Syndergaard had a role.
He like lasted for a second, and I think he got burned alive by a dragon or something.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
He looked up in a quick scene, and he was dead.
It was a quick scene, and he got the dragon.
I don't want to even watch the show, but I read about Syndergaard's appearance in it.
It's one of the your favorite TV show of all time is Lost.
One of my favorite TV shows.
Yes. The Game of Thrones is as good as any TV show that's ever been made.
Yeah,
it's just unreal.
Look, when it comes to this thing, you got to talk to the decision maker. the decision maker is just not on board with anything that looks like Dungeons and Dragons on TV. She's just not. So if I'm going to watch it, I have to watch it by myself. I don't have the time to watch 9 seasons of Game of Thrones by myself. I kind of missed the boat on it. If she wants to watch it with me, I can watch Game of Thrones. She does not. She's not in a sword. She's not in a dragon. She's not in a wizard. She's not in the.
It's so much more than that.
Wants to watch like Real Housewives of something, you watch.
No, I don't watch that stuff with her.
She watches her own shows.
She watches her shows, and I go upstairs and watch the game because there's always a game on every night that we have to watch.
You should binge watch Game of Thrones. Like, you know, you get caught up in like, it'll take you like 6 months. But you'll get there.
In 6 months?
6 months.
Oh, okay. Six months.
Binging is the best way to do it, too. Because once
you don't forget.
Yeah, and you don't have to wait a year and a half for the next season.
So here's what I do, just quickly. I have, like, the last 2 episodes of Game of Thrones still on my DVR.
Yeah.
So before it starts, I'm going to watch the last 2 episodes again because I forget. Like, I got no memory. Like, my brain's fried.
Doesn't it start in like 2 weeks, right?
Yeah, but like, I didn't delete the last 2 episodes because I knew I was going to forget what happened at the end. So I kept them.
So we don't know whether Nick Bosa is doing private workouts or not, but by the sound of it, he's not. He's doing visits. We okay with that?
Yeah.
I mean, is that something that. No red flags there?
Had a hernia, sports hernia injury, had an ACL injury. So he's avoiding the risk with no private workouts. It's just, I don't want to take the chance that I'm going to get hurt. And I think teams are going to have to respect that.
It just reinforces.
It doesn't matter. Like he's okay, if I do the private workout, does it make me a top 5 pick? If I don't do the private workout, am I still a top 5 pick? Oh, I'm still a top 5 pick if I don't even work out. Okay. I'm not working out.
Sure. But it does sort of reinforce the secret private fear about Nick Bosa. And that's his injury history. I mean that is
okay.
You think?
Sure,
it does reinforce
Cardinals aren't
the
concerned
notion
with it.
That there's a history there.
The sports hernia. There's no concern at all with the sports hernia. And if the knee checked out fine, it's a lot of guys that have had ACL injuries. A lot that continue to play. So you're not
concerned at all about Nick Bosa's injury history?
No, there's been 2. The sports hernia is one that I don't think they're concerned with. I don't think the sports hernia, it is what it is.
Yeah.
You recover from that. The ACL injury, it's a knee injury. He had it, but he's shown the explosion after the ACL injury that would make you not that concerned.
The Arizona Cardinals are on the clock with the number 1 overall pick in this year's NFL draft. You could be there to see it. Text clock to 620-620. It's your chance to win a trip for 2 to Nashville for the Cards on the Clock Ultimate Draft Flyaway Experience. It's courtesy of Cherish all natural 100% cherry juice. It was a sight no Suns fan wanted to see, but we saw it. And after getting injured last night, what is the status of Devin Booker, his ankle, and the rest of this season? We'll give you the latest as we know it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The Burns and Gambo Need to Know Twitter Poll, presented by Sanderson Ford.
Let's roll out our Twitter poll question of the day. I'm laughing because I'm looking up at PTI, second story of the day. Cards could keep both Murray and Rosen. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
I think it's a threat. I think it's a threat to all the teams that want to make bogus offers. You come with something weak, I'd rather just keep them than give them away.
Spencer, I'm sorry. I don't mean to step on your
airtime. Oh, you're good. This is fascinating.
It caught my attention because, man, it started as a spark, and it's everybody's talking about this idea now.
Get that third-round pick out of here. Because, it's very likely that this is a threat to the teams that don't want to offer a legitimate first-round pick. Get that out of here.
Get that weak junk out of here.
Listen, we'd be interested in Rosen. We've got the third round pick number 97. I'll just keep him.
Yeah.
I'll just keep him.
Spencer, what is today's poll question?
All right, I don't think we've talked about the D-backs yet today, so let's do it. Which was the most surprising thing from the D-backs opening 7-game road stand? 53% say allowing 42 runs in Los Angeles, which is a Dodgers franchise record for a 4-game series. 30% say Zach Greinke hitting 2 home runs in San Diego the other night against the Padres.
That was surprising, yes.
And he hit the ball hard. I mean, they weren't little fluke home runs. Those were bombs. 6% say Greinke's awful opening day start, which was pretty bad. 11%, how about Christian Walker? 3 home runs, 6 RBIs.
Now Christian Walker's going to get a... plenty of playing time now.
Greinke hitting 2 home runs.
That's the one I'd vote for, too. That's the most surprising thing.
I think a dead center field.
The only pitcher in the history of Petco Park to hit one out to center field, according to Baseball Reference. That's the Twitter poll question. You can find it on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page. And as always, that's a good follow on Twitter. You'll get everything that we're talking about on the show right there. All of the big interviews, all of the big topics, the poll questions, things like that.
Pass over on the near side for Josh Jackson. The lob for Booker. The catch, and he goes down. He's pushed. Went down pretty hard.
That's not good.
And still is on the floor.
Yeah, that's an ankle.
Nope.
He went.
Easy Central released a picture of the moment, the second, and I'd credit the photographer, I'm not sure who took it, but somebody over at AZ Central did, of the moment Booker rolled his ankle. And I mean, it is literally his foot at a 90-degree angle, you know, like a right angle to
with all of his body weight
basically on the outer part of the bone of his ankle. It looked like it just hurt like an absolute you know what, and as we know now, his season with three games left is done because of that.
Yeah, I've checked in on this today. He is out for the remainder of the season. It is a mild ankle sprain. I wouldn't classify it as them shutting him down. It's just there's not enough time to get healthy. Like he can't. There's no way that he could get healthy enough to play in the final three remaining games. So Booker will not play in any of the three games. There will be no roster moves. The Suns will not make any roster moves to bring anybody up for three games. They're going to roll with what they have. So no additions to the roster. But Booker, with a mild ankle sprain, is not going to be able to play in any of the three games simply because there's just not enough time for him to get it healthy.
Thank God it wasn't anything worse than that. If you were to look at the way he reacted, if you were to look at the picture that I saw on AZ Central today on their Twitter account, it looked so nasty in the moment. After the moment, it looked absolutely terrible. But mild ankle sprain, we can live with that. Him being done for the season, we can live with that. Here's Igor Kokoschkov.
He did MRI, and we're going to have a precise information tomorrow. Nothing severe, but you know how bad it is. Well, let's wait for tomorrow, and then we're going to have a exact information what's going on.
Well, tomorrow's today, and we got the information that you're reporting now. Yes. About the status of him going forward. The problem is Tyler Johnson had his knee scoped, so now we know for sure his season is done.
He is going to have it's not going to put him in any danger for next year, recovery time. It's a minor procedure, so just rehab it a little bit. He'll be ready to go. He's not going to miss any time next year or any important dates to try to get himself back, you know, back into shape and ready to go.
T.J. Warren has already been ruled out for Friday's game against the Pelicans.
I'm going to rule him out for the rest of the season. I'm going to rule T.J. out for the rest of the season. They're going to continue to list him a day-to-day, but he is not going to play. So T.J. Warren will not play in any of the remaining games with the ankle injury. Again, they're not ruling him out. It is saying it's day-to-day, but from what I've heard, he's not going to be able to play. It's just so highly unlikely he'll be able to play. So let's go ahead and rule T.J. Warren out.
There's three games left in the season.
Yeah, there's no reason to play him.
Three games.
Yeah.
What I don't know, and we're going to talk about this a little later, one of the mysteries of the 2018-19 Phoenix Suns, and believe me, there's a lot of weirdness that's gone on with this season. To me, one of the great mysteries of the season was why they held on so long to the idea that T.J. Warren could come back. I mean, at some point, what was it 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we kind of looked at it and said, he ain't coming back. How can he possibly come back?
Because you probably don't want to. An organization that has, in the past, shut guys down to better their draft positioning. If you come out and shut them down a month ago, there's a perception around the league that this is what the Suns do. That the Suns are tanking, that the Suns are, so for them, it was better to just ride it out. He's day-to-day. If he gets healthy, we'll play him. If he doesn't get healthy, he won't play. That's it, rather than just shut him down.
DeAndre Ayton has also been ruled out for tomorrow's game against the Pelicans, so Jimmer Fredette, nothing but net. He's going to be...
And there was some bricks that he was laying last night on some of those shots.
Get yourself plenty Jimmer Fredette tomorrow if that's what you want with the New Orleans Pelicans, because they're...
Jimmer Fredette, hey, nothing but...
There ain't a whole lot left.
Had a nice little layup under the basket last night. I watched because of him. I'm not going to lie. Like, I watched. You know what I noticed, too? Like, nobody's passing him the ball. Like, it's like, dude, I'm Jimmy Fredette. I always had the ball in college and in China. Like, give me the ball. I'm a scorer.
Give me the ball.
Man, Josh Jackson's like, man, I'm scoring. And Rashawn Holmes, like, yeah, like, man, the only time he gets the ball is when they inbound it. Then he was getting the ball on the inbounds, and his only shots were coming as if he was going to take it to the hoop. Because once he passed it, man, he wasn't getting it back.
Stephen A. Smith this morning on First Take. Boy, he's been chiming in a lot on Devin Booker as of late.
The Phoenix Suns desperately need Ja Morant, and here's why. Devin Booker needs a point guard. He really, really needs a point guard. Now, understand, Max, and I'll qualify my statement by saying this. Ja Morant to me, reminds me somewhat of a Russell Westbrook. The athleticism, the ability to get to the rim at will, to finish above the rim with his volatile dunking style, finishing at the basket, has the ability to hit the three-pointer as well, in the mid-30 percentile range, okay? All of those things are true. He also sort of reminds you of Russell Westbrook in a bad way because he's prone to turn the ball over as well. But I love his game just like I love Russell Westbrook.
By the way, with last night's loss, the Phoenix Suns have clinched, for lack of a better 86% word.
86% chance to not get Zion Williamson.
Indeed.
They've just clinched it. Congratulations. The Suns now have an 86% chance to not get Zion Williamson.
They are going to have one of the three worst records in the league, which gives them a 14% chance. A 14% chance of getting the number one pick. So Gambo's exactly right. It's math. I've double-checked it. It's solid. There's an 86% chance they will not get Zion Williamson. We going to celebrate now. Absolutely, we're going to celebrate that. No, we're not. 86% chance they won't get him. In fact, if they finish at the current number two spot where they're at now, the second worst record, if you combine their odds of getting either the first or the second pick in this draft,
it's not even that good.
There's a 73% chance that they won't get Ja Morant or Zion Williamson.
All right, where does the draft stop for you? One, two, or three?
Two.
I'm going three.
Two.
I love R.J. Barrett, man. That kid's a stud.
I know you do. I
love R.J. Barrett. I'm going three.
Two.
Get one of the top three picks. I could live with it. Well, listen, trade the pick. Like, if you could get a bona fide star, it's 25, 26 years old to pair with Booker right now, let's go. Let's win. I'm all for it. Trade the pick if you don't get...
Even if it's number two? Even if you're passing on Ja Morant?
Depends on the player.
That's how I feel about it. It depends on the player.
So it depends on who the player is.
That to me, that pick is for sale, depending on the player that you can get in exchange for him. I know we all love Ja Morant. I think that
would
pick
you
is for
take
sale.
Lonzo Ball or Ja Morant?
Ja Morant.
Okay.
Ja Morant. Trash talk for you.
Boy, that's close.
Yeah. Trash talk from fans has been a part of sports for as long as sports have existed. But one Diamondback player says a line was crossed yesterday in San Diego. Was it, though? That's coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
Dave Burns.
After the show, you and I need to get together.
John Gambadoro.
Get out of here. Leave me alone.
Burns and Gambo. Afternoons.
Gobbledygook. That's what it says.
I hear you say gobbledygook all day.
Gobbledygook. Gobbledygook.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Off day for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Their home opener tomorrow. We'll be down there.
Woo! Cannot wait.
Looking forward to that.
Love the home opener. So many great festivities planned. I was looking at the list, the flyover, and Bobby Hurley throwing out the first pitch, the ASU coach. Going to be a great day down at the ballpark. The Diamondbacks, the Communists. It's going to be fantastic. It's going to be a great day.
It is going to be fun. I'm shuddering at the thought of how many Red Sox fans are going to be down there tomorrow. I remember the last time the Red Sox were here. It was a little overwhelming. It was a lot overwhelming. You remember that? Do you remember? I think it was still when Bomel was the manager. And his team was legit shocked at the turnout the Red Sox brought out for that series. They were, to a man, stunned, floored. Now, I might be getting my dates mixed up. It's possible the Red Sox came here sometime after that. But I remember a series the Red Sox played here. Bomel was still the manager. And those players, to a man, were floored at how many Red Sox fans were in their building. Could not believe it.
It's going to be just as bad.
I'm sure it is.
The defending world champs.
Although they're off to a terrible start.
I know.
Spencer said in the update that they have given up the most home runs of any defending World Series champ like ever in their first 7 or 8 games so far.
Right. I mean,
that pitching staff has just been getting lit.
Quick festivities. Louisville Silver Slugger Award presented to David Peralta. Tomorrow, Rawlings Gold Glove Award to Nick Ahmed, Zach Greinke. Defensive Player of the Year to Greinke. First pitch by Bobby Hurley. Nathan, National Anthem sung by local country musician Austin Burke. Flyover by 4 F-35s from the 309th Fighter Squadron from Luke Air Force Base. It's going to be amazing. Should be a great day. Love being out there. Opening day is going to be amazing. We'll be down there. We're going to be in the fish tank because our show is going to be going on, but we will be down there tomorrow.
So it's getting national attention now. And I mentioned it to you yesterday. It was a brief mention on the show. I didn't think that much of it at the time, but I did mention it. And I think you responded to it, reacted to it in the moment. Adam Jones had a fan in right field at Petco Park removed from yesterday's game.
I didn't think much of it either. And then it blew up. The story blew up. And then I heard Doug and Wolf talking about it this morning and Bickley and Murata too. And I was like, you know what? But they were having interesting discussions that really caught my attention on it. Both Doug and Wolf and Bickley and Murata, I thought it was real interesting. You know, should Adam Jones have had a fan removed for cursing at him? I mean, his point is, listen, you can yell at me, you can tell me I suck, you can tell me I stink, your team, whatever. I mean, but don't curse at me. If you curse at me, I'm going to ask security to have you removed. That was his whole point. Nothing more, nothing less.
Yeah, he said, quote, and remember, Jones, who is obviously an African-American baseball player, has had racially related incidents with fans in the past. He said this did not rise to that level. But he said, quote, these fans in sports, man, they're starting to get a little more brazen. I've said it many times, and obviously I've had altercations with fans. My biggest thing is keep the banter polite. We suck. I struck out. The team's not good. Keep it light. Keep it smart. There's kids in the stadium. But the second you start cussing me out like I'm a little kid, that's a no-no. On the street, they'd never do that. In the ballpark, when you've paid your admission, there's no need for all that stuff. The second I hear somebody cussing us out, you're gone. I could care less that they're gone. That's just how it is.
You know what? I'm all for, you suck. I think that's okay. But if you get to the point where you're dropping F-bombs and stuff like that, then, you know, I think he's right, because I've been in that situation. You know, having 10-year-olds, having young kids where, you know, and I would take, you know, all my kids, Kaylee and Gabby to the games, and I'd take Quentin and Brooke to the games. Like, when there's a situation where there's somebody in front of you or behind you and you've got a kid and they're cursing up a storm, I always say something. I can't hold back. I always say something. Hey, I got my 10-year-old with me. Can you keep the profanity down? And most of the time, oh yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry. But I will always say something to the knucklehead that's in front of me or next to me that's cursing up a storm when I've got my kid right next to me.
I always thought profanity was like not really a rule in the Gambo house.
It is, but you know what?
That's interesting.
But only I can use it. When somebody else is doing it, it's wrong.
Really? Oh, okay. So do as I say, but not as I do,
you know,
sort
what?
Of parenthood?
I
understand how it works over there.
I mean, I do think when you like, I don't curse at a game. Because I know that there are kids around, and I don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't like. I go to plenty of games as a fan. I go most games 90% as a media guy, but I'll go to games as a fan,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not going to sit. You know, I'm not going to sit there and curse at a guy like that. You know, I may get, you know, I may loud, I may cheer, I may say, you know, get him out of here or something like that. But I would never, like, with a bunch of kids around, I wouldn't curse around those kids.
So it's within, and I don't disagree with the words you're saying, but to see a player do it, that's, and they showed the video of it. I hadn't seen the video until just a moment. They showed it on PTI a second ago. Literally, Jones goes up, says something to one of the security guy on the field. Security guy on the field gets on his little walkie-talkie, says something. Security guard in the stands is on the walkie-talkie, you know, the one.
How did he identify the guy?
I
must have been like a bunch of times he did it. And he was able to look at him and say, okay, I got you. You. Plaid shirt, whatever. I got you. I'm going to get you out of here. Yeah. You know what? I don't think I have a problem with it. I mean, I really don't. You know, I mean, you can, kind of berate a guy, but do it without using a bunch of profanity.
Derek Hall, president and CEO of the Diamondbacks, was on this morning with Doug and Wolf. Where is the line drawn?
There's certain teams that come in here that our fans even get a little more boisterous about. But I, you know, I'm pleased that our fans don't do that. I mean, we've got such a classy bunch here. Our fans are very respectful to the visiting players and visiting fans. We welcome visiting fans. I think there definitely is a line. And I think most fans understand. They have common sense to know where that line is and not cross it.
I would hope so. And you know, to your point,
yes.
I know, I think I would do, like you said, 90% of the games I go to, I'm media guy, I'm not fan. And I haven't seen a lot of that as a fan, but if I did, and I had my little kid with me at the time, I'm probably doing one of those, hey, text stop to 90999 and tell us what section you're in and we'll come take care of the problem.
I think you give
I'd probably do that.
I think you say something first, and then if they don't listen to you, then you could do that. But at first say, hey, by the way, listen, I have a 9-year-old with me. You see right behind you? I have a 9-year-old. I prefer he doesn't hear your language. So can you keep it down?
I prefer he hear my language at home.
No, but I think most people would be like, oh, man, I'm sorry about that. You know, my bad. I'm sorry.
I think most people would, yes.
Right. Now, you'll always get the idiot that's had 3 beers and wants to have a confrontation with
sure.
you. You know, you'll get that. And at that point, then you could either, you know, text stop to whatever it is or go to the security
guard. I was making up that number. I don't know if that's the actual number, but I know every ballpark in the world has that now. Create your own player, rise through the MLB ranks, or play against others as baseball's greatest stars and legends. It's MLB The Show 19. It's rated E for everyone. Head to the rewards page now at arizonasports.com. It's your chance to win a copy and dominate the competition. Why are so many teams interested in trading for Josh Rosen? The way Rosen would project in this year's draft is probably a very big part of it. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show.